Hey guys, Solomonster here, and I'm not doing a podcast this weekend because I am not going to be here, but I could not let this whole rock fiasco go by without at least putting up a video for you guys here on the YouTube channel talking about all of this nonsense. There's been a lot of talk and chatter about the WrestleMania finish to Cody Rhodes and John Cena WrestleMania Sunday being just almost universally panned, and deservedly so, because it sucked. Not that Cena won number 17, I had no issue with that at all. But the match itself just not being very good, and then on top of that, the way that everything played out for the finish, and Travis Scott and Rock not being around, just really most everything since the Elimination Chamber because of the absence of The Rock, who became the focal point of this entire thing. It just made for a very lame finish at WrestleMania, him not being there. So then late on Monday came the sudden announcement that The Rock was going to be appearing on the Pat McAfee show the next day. Clean up on aisle five. That's exactly what this felt like. Damage Control is not just the name of a faction in WWE. It was on full display Tuesday. So finally, The Rock broke his silence as to why he was not part of the build to John Cena against Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, and why he did not appear at all on the biggest show of the year. This man did more to promote New Japan Pro Wrestling and Rubik's Cube sales than he did WrestleMania. And his answer? It didn't make sense for the final boss. That don't work for me, brother. Nearly 40 minutes he spent talking about everything from Roman Reigns and the Night 1 main event to Cody and Cena on Night 2 and Travis Scott and his movies and his Papa Tui skincare line. You should have seen the people in the live chat, because I was watching the Pat McAfee stream on YouTube when Rock was on. You should have seen these people in the live chat who are not wrestling fans and they don't give two shits about wrestling. Like 30 minutes into this, Rock is talking about his grooming products and they are just begging for Pat to please move on and talk actual sports. And you know, of all the things that Rock talked about, the one thing he did not talk about was the UFL, which he is part owner of, and would at least fit into that sports discussion. That didn't come up, but all this other stuff came up. But among the things that he revealed is that he watched WrestleMania 41 from home because he wanted the spotlight to be on John Cena. And he also claimed that he only appeared at Elimination Chamber because Ari Emanuel called him due to ticket sales being soft for the show in Toronto. So he came to The Rock, basically to beg The Rock to be on the show to save ticket sales, as if the ticket sales were horrendous. I mean, they may have been soft, but you know, it's not like they weren't selling tickets. But this is what led to The Rock coming up with the idea for Cody's soul. And those conversations led to the idea from Triple H suggesting, hey, why don't we turn John Cena heel? But really, if you think about what Rock said on the Pat McAfee show, really what he did, I think it's fair to infer this from the comments that he made. He revealed that they had no real big creative direction for their key match for WrestleMania. And what it boiled down to was Ari Emanuel wanting Rock to come in to goose ticket sales for the PLE before WrestleMania, which is crazy. Like, weeks before the Chamber, Triple H just randomly comes up with, hey, why don't we turn John Cena heel, one of the biggest stars in the history of our company who's in his retirement year. You know, we hadn't thought about this, so hey, why don't we turn John Cena heel? Like, isn't that the sort of thing they should already have thought about 2 months before their biggest show of the year? So let me go through what he said here, because it's a lot to unpack here in Rock Speak. Said, speaking as DJ, as Rock, director of the board and not the final boss, I got to tell you that, let's start with that ending and start with John becoming the 17-time heavyweight champion and becoming, legitimizing himself, he says, as being without question the GOAT. He is on Mount Rushmore now. Got to kick a guy off to put him on. I think now Dusty goes to the back. He was always on my Mount Rushmore. He goes on the back there with me. I'll be raising my eyebrows back there in the back of Mount Rushmore. But I think that the way John, at the end of the night, raising the title, that was the bottom line. That was the North Star. And I loved it. I loved that moment. I think he's going to go on to have this insane run as a heel. And what I love about this, and what I love about John, is I like to think that I keep not only my finger on the pulse of things. You and I have talked about this. Don't keep your finger on the pulse of, put your whole hand on the pulse of things. And that way, things, and that means, what is he saying here? Meaning the fans and their sentiment. And I love that the fans are so engaged. They're so connected to John's heel turn. Now I see a few fans saying that, oh, I really don't believe he's a bad guy, so he's playing a bad guy. But here's the thing. You don't have to believe that he's a bad guy. You know why? Because he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. I've known the guy for 20 years. We've gone up and down to hell and back. We talk all the time. We text all the time. He's not a bad guy. He's telling the truth now. And you could feel that in his delivery because he's telling the truth. This is 25 years of, imagine going out every single night for 25 years, regardless of where you're at, and knowing that you're going to get cheered and know that you're going to get booed. And in some places, it's even harder. You're going to get booed out of the building. That's a hard psychological place to be. I give John so much credit. And he goes on from there, and he's giving Cena more praise for taking a risk and going heel. But then he gets into the real meat and potatoes of this. He goes, I got a call about a month before the Elimination Chamber from Ari Emanuel, who we know owns TKO. TKO owns WWE. He's been my longtime business partner and one of my best friends for over 20 years. He said, we need help. At Elimination Chamber, ticket sales are a little slow. But beyond that, he goes, what we're finding is with Elimination Chamber, it's become the pay-per-view that's been interesting. You know, fans have fun, but it's also a conduit to WrestleMania. And how do we create an Elimination Chamber that people have to tune in to see? How do we create that? And he goes, right now, we don't have that. And he said, let's have the final boss show up. What if the final boss appears at the Elimination Chamber? I said, well, let me give it some thought and let me get back to you on that. And so I did, and I got back to Ari, and I got back to Triple H and Nick Khan, and we had a call, and I said, I have an idea. What's most important to the final boss? It's not titles, it's not money, it's not fame. Been there, done that. Grateful for that. Final boss wants your soul. So then he gets into this discussion about how it was a litmus test. They were taking a temperature check to see how the fans would respond to Cody possibly going heel and selling his soul to The Rock. And he believes that Cody's got this great heel run in him. He's not wrong when he says that. I think Cody has it within him to have a great heel run down the line. And Rock was saying all the right things here in this interview. I'm not talking about turning Cody heel now. I'm talking about doing it down the road. What I believe is that Rock probably wanted Cody to go heel now. I think the idea was for Cody Rhodes to sell his soul to The Rock. And there were people there, whether it was Cody himself or Triple H, who had enough sense to say no and push back and say, that's a fucking dumb idea, which it would have been. It would have been a fucking stupid idea for Cody Rhodes, their number one babyface right now, who up until recently, it wasn't until this program with John Cena that we first started seeing fans booing Cody in some places. His reactions were still rock solid, right? One of their top merch movers, like people bought into Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, WWE champion. As he was coming upon his first year as champion, he was getting good reactions from the crowd. Now, all of a sudden, and this was always going to be a risk, you know, putting him in there with John Cena, whether Cena was a babyface or a heel, in some places, and I don't know if it was just the Vegas thing for WrestleMania, we saw it a few weeks ago on TV, there now are at least pockets of people who have taken to booing Cody. That was not happening before this. So, yes, Rock, absolutely. Cody down the road, great heel. I don't believe for a second that he's looking at this and going, oh, I don't want Cody to go heel now, but like, you know, later on down the road. No, I think he did want Cody to go heel now. And I think John Cena was the second choice. And Triple H is the one who kind of threw it out there and said, what if John went heel? Which Rock in this interview said, oh, I think that's a great idea. I said, I love it. But now you got to ask John how he feels about it. And of course, John Cena is going to say yes, because John Cena has said before, like he shows up to work and this is how he was with Vince, where he doesn't politic. He doesn't lobby for matches. He has said, I've never in my entire career lobbied for a match. I want to work with this guy. I got to work with this person. And I get the sense that he shows up and maybe he'll have some creative input into certain things. But he largely just kind of goes with the flow. Whatever they want me to do, okay, you're the boss, I'll do it. I mean, it seems pretty apparent even based on what they've had him do here during this program. It's like, hey, John, what do you think about this? Okay, sure. And of course, because John Cena, he's got one foot out the door. He's got one foot out the door already. He doesn't care. And he's probably thinking, okay, yeah, I never had the chance to do this before. You know, after I had been, you know, turned babyface, I wanted to go heel. We didn't do it. So, yeah, okay, sure, fine, whatever. He's practically already done. He doesn't give a shit. You want me to turn heel? I'll turn heel, sure. But the whole thing with Rock, you know, and Cody and everything, it was Meltzer. It was actually Meltzer many, many months ago who I think was the one who reported that Rock wanted Cody to go heel. And there was pushback and Cena was the second choice. And, you know, a lot of people have mocked Dave for his reports on this and other things that he has gotten wrong. But you know what? He is owed an apology. Not only by myself and other content creators, but honestly, by The Rock. Because after that report came out months and months ago that Rock was not going to be at WrestleMania, Rock himself replied to someone's comment on Instagram and said in so many words that that's bullshit or don't buy into that bullshit. So if anybody owes Meltzer, honestly, the biggest apology should be coming from The Rock. Because as it turned out, he was right. And The Rock was sitting on his ass at home watching WrestleMania just like everybody else. But he went on and on about how smart Cody is and what an intelligent guy he is. And, oh, you know, Triple H is great. You know, I've been kicking around ideas with this guy for 20 years and, you know, all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's letting us into the creative process here and how this all, you know, this all came together. And then he said we had this great thing at Elimination Chamber, this, you know, very successful segment with him and John Cena and Travis Scott. And he called John after the Elimination Chamber. I talked to him, I talked to Cody, and I said, I think the final boss's work here is done. Like, we've established it. We've pulled off the greatest angle in the history of professional wrestling other than Hulk Hogan turning heel back in the 90s. I'm glad he said that, by the way, because that's still number one. He said, I think this is amazing. We have 6 weeks now. Let's build you. Now, go out there and build to it. Go crush it. And I'll be right there with you, and I'm always here if you need me. But I think it's best for the final boss to not be involved in that finish. You guys go. You've got 6 weeks to plan for that. Which, again, is crazy to me that they were that close to WrestleMania, their biggest event of the year, and seemingly had no other grand plan, or maybe they did, and they were very easy to just sort of cast it aside and have 6 weeks to try to build something with a guy who wasn't even going to be there every single week. I mean, they did that turn at Elimination Chamber. We didn't see Cena for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, he showed up. Never even addressed Cody Rhodes. Showed up the following week in Glasgow. Didn't really address Cody Rhodes. Cody addressed him, but he had nothing really to say about Cody. It wasn't until they got to London at the very end, almost a month. It was basically a month. After the Elimination Chamber, and we got a great back and forth between Cody and Cena. Finally, it took a fucking month to get it. And that was basically all we got until the night before Mania when they were on SmackDown together. So Cena wasn't even there every single week. Rock, it actually would have been helpful, I think, for Rock. You can plug him into a spot here and there, maybe on a week where Cena wasn't going to be there. But again, you know, in this build to WrestleMania, what was missing is they decided to tell this story, or Cena did. This is his take on it, where, yeah, I'm not going to give the fans what they want. You want new gear, you want new music. I'm not doing this because I know you want it. You get nothing from me, right? That's the story they've decided to go with. The problem is, a year ago, you think back to that build to WrestleMania 40, which ended up being great, but it was a complete just clusterfuck how we got there. I mean, I look back on that and it's like, I can't believe that we had Cody Rhodes win the Royal Rumble. And then the idea was for The Rock to just show up and take his spot the way that he did. And that somebody thought that that was a great idea. I don't even know that Triple H honestly thought that was a great idea. But, you know, this is what The Rock wants to do. And The Rock wants his match with Roman Reigns, which he ended up not getting because he saw the blowback. And this is the thing about The Rock. He's very, very cognizant of the online reaction because he saw the reaction and he had a pivot. And he talked about this in the Making of WrestleMania 40 documentary. That's where the meme photo comes from. He's sitting there and he's, you know, he's waving his arms around. He's talking about how this happened and how that happened and got to listen to the people sometimes. He was getting just destroyed by people on social media. So they pivoted and we ended up with the final boss. And in the end, it all worked out. But even the weeks where Rock wasn't on the show, he would record these social media videos and these Instagram videos. And I look forward to him. Every Friday, there was going to be a new IG drop from The Rock. And he'd be cutting a promo on Cody and Mama Rhodes. And, you know, it was entertaining. And it got people excited for WrestleMania. And, of course, it helped having that big storyline payoff where Cody's got to finish the story. Roman finally loses. Like, you weren't going to have that this year. And so there is that recognition that whatever they were going to come up with for WrestleMania this year probably wasn't going to be able to match that moment because last year was like the big payoff to everything. But we didn't have any of that this year. They shot an angle with Rock and Cena standing side by side together at the end of the Elimination Chamber. What did they think the fans were going to think? This is what aggravates the shit out of me. There are times where you will have these wrestlers or you know people who work for the company that will go, well, just you got to let it play out. You can't just fantasy book everything and you're going to come up with all these grand ideas and when they don't happen, well, you have nobody to blame for it but yourself. Sometimes that's true. I'm guilty of that sometimes. Your mind is racing, "Oh my god, this could go this way and this way and this way," and then when it goes that way, it's like, "Ah, fuck, that sucks. Yeah, this idea was better." Well, yeah, but you're the one who, you know, decided to try to come up with all these ideas and you set yourself up for disappointment. But in this case, you cannot tell me that they expected most people to look at what they did in Toronto on that show and not assume that there was now an alliance of some sort between The Rock and John Cena and that we wouldn't see them at some point at least once or twice together standing in the ring on TV. Like we had Rock and Roman standing together, united in the ring on TV in the build-up to last year's show. We got nothing. John Cena wasn't on social media cutting promos, dropping them every week when he wasn't there. John Cena didn't do shit outside of what we saw him doing on TV. He posts his motivational quotes on X like he always does. And that's it. And we only got him when we got him, which wasn't every week. We didn't have that same level of engagement. We didn't have the same kind of fun leading up to this match at WrestleMania than we had last year. Oh, but that's what John Cena wants. He doesn't want you to have fun. That's the whole point, Solomon. So you're missing the whole point of the story. This is not supposed to be fun. This is not supposed to be fun. Boy, is that a shitty build to WrestleMania. I hope that's not going to be the way it is for the rest of the year. I hope we didn't get a shitty main event at WrestleMania because it was supposed to be that way. Because we got John Cena for the rest of the fucking year. The way people will try to rationalize these things is ridiculous to me. I cannot hold anybody responsible who saw what they did at Elimination Chamber and got excited, assuming that we were going to get Rock and Cena together on TV in some way. Or certainly we would see some kind of follow-up or payoff to this at WrestleMania with the two of them. And they gave us nothing. People have a right to be disappointed. People have a right to be upset about that. And they don't need it thrown back in their face like they're wrong for not enjoying what they're being given. Triple H was making comments like that leading up to WrestleMania, the interview he did with Peter Rosenberg. Man, I wish the critics would just fuck off. Just be a fan. Just shut up and enjoy the ride. Remember when Rock showed up on NXT back in January? First, we had him on the Netflix premiere, and he was board member Dwayne, pointing out Cody in the front row. "He's my boy. Me and Cody, we're going to share some Terramana later." And people were like, they were aghast. Like, this is how you follow up to all the Rock and Cody stuff from last year? Now they're like best friends? It's ridiculous that that's the follow-up to everything here. But then he showed up on NXT and he said, "I didn't plan any comments. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I'm just going to go out there." And it was very apparent that he had not given any thought to what he was going to say. And maybe he had a little Terramana before he went out there, because that promo, that whole segment, to close out that episode of NXT, I mean, I know why they did it, because they popped a huge number. I think they did like 950,000 people on CW that night. But it was fucking terrible. But you remember what Rock said during that promo. Basically, it was like, shut your mouth and enjoy the ride The Rock is going to take you on. The Rock is thinking 20 steps ahead. No, he's not. He was full of shit when he said that. Literally just trying to come up with shit to say before they went off the air. They just wanted Rock on the show to pop a number, which they did. Great. It didn't mean anything. There was nothing. There was no substance to what he was saying. Let The Rock take you on the ride that he's going to take you on. There was no ride. There was no ride. This ride went about as well as Austin's ATV at WrestleMania. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. When you're hungry and you want to go out to dinner, you want to have options, right? Maybe you're in the mood for Chinese or Italian, maybe Japanese food or Indian food, whatever it may be. You have options. Now imagine if you could only get food from one country, one cuisine. That wouldn't be so fun, would it? I love Chinese food, but I don't want to eat it every day. I would be 400 pounds. That's what it's like to use Netflix without ExpressVPN. You only get to watch content from a single country. Where's the fun in that? See, Netflix hides content from you based on your location. ExpressVPN allows you to change your online location so you can control where Netflix thinks you're located. They have servers in over 100 countries, so you can access thousands of new shows and movies and never run out of stuff to watch. And it doesn't just work with Netflix, it works with other streaming services too, like Disney+. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because not only is it secure, it's easy to use. Just tap the app and click one button to change your location. It also works on all of your devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and smart TVs. You get super fast speed so you can stream in HD without buffering, like you're watching something in 360p. We've all been there before. I don't want to sit here watching a pixelated image. There's a reason why ExpressVPN is ranked number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge, because it just works. I'll give you an example of something I watched or rewatched recently because it came up on one of my live streams. I was interacting with some folks in the chat and The Shawshank Redemption came up. One of the greatest films ever made. And it's not even available on Netflix in the US right now. But you know where you can stream it on Netflix right now? In Australia and Italy and Japan. So guess what I did? I traveled, sort of, to Japan for the first time by connecting to a server in Tokyo, and I was able to watch the movie glitch-free, no issues at all. It was a show I recently watched. I only got through a couple of episodes. I may go back to it. But it was a TV series called Hannibal, with Lawrence Fishburne, about Hannibal Lecter and his relationship with a profiler who works for the FBI. Interesting stuff. Didn't even know about it. It's from like 2013. It's not on US Netflix. So I had to connect to a UK server to be able to see it. Again, it's very simple. I just opened the ExpressVPN app, selected the country I wanted, tapped one button. You have to refresh Netflix, but after you do that, there it is. It's just there. I love it. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get an extra 4 months of ExpressVPN for free. Then he says, I love the finish of the match. Now, I would have finessed things a little differently on how they got there, but that's just me creatively. There's a lot of minds in the room, but that's my thought. But ultimately, the bottom line is, I love John getting number 17. My thoughts are always to Cody because of what we've established with him and his story and the kind of babyface that he is. So if done right, and I think if it was finessed right, and if nuanced right down the road, that could work. That guy can have an incredible not only babyface run again as champion, but also an unheard of run as a heel down the road. And then on not being involved in the finish of the match, he said, they know when I come to them, and them meaning Triple H and Nick and Ari, and I lay this out and I say, hey, here's how I really feel it should go. We can insert the final boss in the end of this finish, but then where do we go? There are other commitments that I have. And I want to also be careful that we're not overstepping and leaning over our skis. Too much here to get involved with at the finish. And I said, why get involved when the spotlight should just be on John, 17-time heel champion? What does 2025 look like if this man is saying he's going to ruin professional wrestling? That, to me, is the anchoring storyline. It's not the soul right now. And he's like, oh, but we'll go back to it at some point. We'll get back to the soul stuff, you know, down the road. And he's you know, again, blathering on and on and on. And he admits that when Travis Scott came out at WrestleMania, that most people would have expected that Rock was coming out next. And that's where he made the comment about how he was trying to be diplomatic about it. well, I would have done this a little bit differently. I would have finessed this or adjusted that. That was basically his way of saying that, you know, Triple H and the creative minds who put that finish together, they either didn't run it by Rock, and so he's basically throwing him under the bus, or he maybe was aware of what they were going to do, but is like, shit, I better come out here and say, well, you know, I would have done this maybe a little bit differently, because people are shitting all over it, because it was fucking stupid. Like, it was very, very dumb. The minute that Travis Scott came out, you heard Fiend, Fiend, 50,000 times that weekend, but here comes Travis Scott. You have to assume, just based on how the Elimination Chamber ended, which, by the way, is the last time we saw Travis Scott, we also saw Rock. Rock literally walked to the ring with Travis Scott. What do you think people were expecting? And that's what just blows me away about this entire thing, that there were people who actually thought this was a good idea. Yeah, let's do the finish this way. We'll have Travis Scott come out, and then we'll have Cena do all the heel things that heel Cena would do, and then he'll just pin Cody, and that'll be the end of it. But, you know, in a way, even though it might not have affected the direct finish of the match, Travis Scott was still out there affecting the outcome of the match, right? He took Cody's attention briefly away from John Cena. He did play a role in the finish of this match, and The Rock never showed his face. Would it have made that much of a difference if Rock just showed up and stood in the aisleway and clapped for John Cena? Maybe. At least it would have made sense of things. You know, there are some people who I saw trying to make the argument, well, Cena never really sold his soul. He just went heel, right? He just kicked Cody in the balls, and he's articulated since then why he did that. He resents Cody, and so that's why he did what he did. None of it makes any sense, and anybody trying to make sense of it, honestly, I mean, is just embarrassing themselves. It doesn't make any sense. John Cena had already won the Elimination Chamber. The night that he turned heel, he won the Elimination Chamber. He had a guaranteed WWE Championship match at WrestleMania. And so you look at it now and you say to yourself, why didn't they just save the Cena heel turn for WrestleMania? Why did Rock even have to be involved in this in the first place? I get it. Let's take him at his word that Ari Emanuel came to him practically begging and saying, Rock, can we get you on the Elimination Chamber? Tickets are a little soft. Tickets are a little, yeah, gee, I wonder why. I wonder how much those fucking tickets were. Tickets are a little soft. We need the final boss on the show. Ari Emanuel didn't come to The Rock and say, we need you involved with Cody Rhodes and John Cena. We need you involved in the top story on the show. He just said, I need you in Toronto for the Elimination Chamber so we can move more tickets and we could put your name on the poster. Remember when they updated the poster for the Elimination Chamber? They took everybody off except The Rock. Literally, The Rock was the only one on the updated poster. They made it all about him. Nobody said that he had to be involved with Cody in this. He could have done anything on the show. He could have had a throwaway comedy segment with somebody in the mid-card that he could have given a fucking rock bottom to. It wouldn't have mattered. If all they were interested in was selling tickets, the tickets were already bought and paid for. You get your Rock appearance. And truly, if he's not going to be involved in the build to WrestleMania, he goes home. Mission accomplished. You moved a few thousand extra tickets. Good. But he came up with this whole elaborate idea about Cody's soul and everything else. As soon as he inserted himself into this main event storyline, he had an obligation to follow through with what people would have expected out of it, which is that The Rock is going to be involved. Otherwise, I have no fucking idea why he came up with that idea in the first place. He said, let me get back to you. I'll come up with an idea. This is all on him. This is all on him. This was his idea. And I can only imagine somebody like Triple H. You know, a lot of people talk about the relationship between Rock and Triple H, and there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. I don't really think it's all that big of a conspiracy theory. There has always been, going back to when they were still young guys trying to make their way in this company, a professional tension and jealousy between the two. And I think the jealousy part was probably more from Triple H's side, because Rock came in and he got a lot quicker than Triple H did, because Triple H came in 95, Rock came in at the end of 96, and it wasn't all rainbows for him initially with the Rocky Maivia stuff, but within a year, he was already on his way, and I'm sure there was a jealousy there, and they came up, like, neck and neck, right? They were coming up at the same time. That's why I say I think Triple H and Rock, like, Rock is his greatest rival. Very telling that he didn't mention Rock, by the way, in his Hall of Fame speech. Mentioned a lot of people. but not rock. But there was, I think there was always that tension there between them. I don't want to say they hate each other. Maybe at one time they did. But you can't tell me that there are not a lot of games being played behind the scenes. A lot of tit for tat. There's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes that we could talk about what we think is going on, but we probably don't even know the half of it. And I'll get to another aspect of this here in a moment. But if you're Triple H and you're the head of creative, right? You're the chief content officer. It's got to be frustrating when The Rock just shows up, whether Ari told him to or The Rock decided he wanted to, and blows everything up. Like, what the original plan for WrestleMania was going to be before the Soul stuff, I would love to know. Like, what they had set in stone here 2 months before their biggest show of the year. I go all the way back to Bad Blood. Everybody was trying to, like, oh, connect the dots. This was all mapped out from a year earlier. This is long-term storytelling. This is long-term booking. This is cinema. They're cooking. All these fucking dumb words people come up with to describe this shit. Rock showing up at Bad Blood was nothing but Rock just wanting to show up. He had his belt. He had his Brahma Bull belt that was given to him by Muhammad Ali's widow. He walks all over the place with it. He shows up at Bad Blood, and then we don't see him again for months until the Netflix premiere. And then that's not The Rock. That's Dwayne, the board member. So tell me, what was the point of the Bad Blood thing then? If this was all part of long-term booking and long-term storytelling, what the hell was the purpose of his appearance in Atlanta at Bad Blood? There was none. He got people talking, but it didn't lead to anything. It went nowhere. So this is the kind of nonsense I'm sure Triple H looks at this and goes, ah, fuck. He's going to be on the show. All right, we got to upend everything and come up with, what we're going to do here. I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. Look at the Dave LaGreca stuff. Okay, The Rock took to his Instagram this morning to respond to Dave LaGreca criticizing The Rock's comments on Pat McAfee's show. Now, LaGreca on Busted Open, he went on a huge rant coming out of the WrestleMania main event on Sunday, to the point where I was a little worried for the man's health. But he was not happy about that finish either. But then there was a whole other rant on Busted Open about some of the comments that Rock made on McAfee's show. And in particular, the comments he made about how, well, you know, I would have finessed or adjusted the creative a little bit on how they did things at WrestleMania. But, you know, that's just me. And basically, he said the same thing that I said before, and I agree with him 100%. He effectively threw Triple H and his team under the bus with those comments. Because what he was saying, you don't have to read, you know, too hard between the lines to see what he was saying. He may have enjoyed, you know, John winning number 17 and the way that happened. But if The Rock had full control the way that he would have liked to, then that finish would not have gone down the way it did. Maybe Travis Scott wouldn't have been there because now he's taken a ton of flack for not being there because Travis Scott was there and led everybody to believe that he would be there. So anyway, he responded to LaGreca. This is what he said. Hi, Dave. The business is a complete work. Always has been, always will be. Every aspect of it. Every match. Every interview. Please join me, Cody, Cena, Brian, talking about Brian Gewirtz, and the rest of us for our creative discussions so you can expand your perspective. Until then, stop ranting. It's not healthy, my friend. Enjoy the show. P.S. Tell Bubba Ray that I have Grand Marnier and Hush Puppies for all of us. So evidently, Paul Levesque falls under the category of the rest of us. That's certainly not going to quiet the people who think that there is a lot of underlying tension here behind the scenes between The Rock and Triple H. And again, I don't think that's some grand conspiracy theory. I think that absolutely is something that is a real thing that is happening. And that may be the most interesting story of all that plays out in these next few years in WWE. Because can I envision a WWE one day where it's Rock and Gewirtz is sort of his chief of staff, his right-hand man, basically what Patterson was to Vince? Can I envision a power structure creatively in this company one day? And I don't know when that would be. But one day where Rock is the guy in charge, calling the shots and coming up with the ideas, and Gewirtz is his head writer or his right-hand man? Absolutely. And I think Triple H knows this. So the minute that you see the WWE business begins to take a dip and the numbers begin to dip, because business may be booming right now, but it don't boom forever. What goes up must come down. When that happens and things start to soften and come back down to earth, that's when things get very interesting. And Triple H, I'm sure, 100% understands this. But, you know, him saying, just enjoy it and stop ranting. Again, very similar to what we heard Triple H saying in the lead up to WrestleMania. And I just think it's completely insulting, you know, to the fans when you just basically tell them, shut up and just enjoy the show. We know what we're doing. You don't. And just enjoy what we feed you. Enjoy what we give you. That was basically the Vince McMahon mentality for so many years. And it almost feels like we're right back to that, or maybe it never really changed. But this is how they really feel. You know, the mask is sort of slipping a little bit. And I think the reason Triple H made the comments that he did and sounded very defensive, which he was, I said, you know, I think I mentioned this on TNT the other day. I said, when you're Triple H and you open your little rant as he did by saying, this is going to sound defensive, it's because it sounds defensive. And the reason I think he was so defensive is because this is really the first time since he has fully taken over as the head of creative where he was really getting it, as far as the criticisms for the road to WrestleMania, he was really getting hit hard and taking it on the chin in a way that he didn't last year or even the year before. And he's not used to that, right? He's the savior. Thank God the evil bad man is gone and we have Triple H now running creative. And I do think we've gotten more good than bad. I'm certainly not like one of these fucking idiots who's like, oh, we need Vince back. We got to have Vince back now. Like, sit the fuck down. But he hasn't taken criticism like this. And I think he's getting very defensive about it. And that's why you see him lashing out, because we didn't hear any of this in the lead up to WrestleMania last year. But we got it this year. So the whole situation, it's a mess. Rock even coming out and making the comments he made. Like, the fact that this was announced so late in the day on Monday, he realized he had to do some damage control here. He had to try to clean this up. He had to try to clean up his image because he cares very deeply about his image. He's had some PR disasters before. And so he wants to make sure that, you know, he can kind of deflect some of the heat away from him. Well, you know, I only got called in because Ari needed me to sell some tickets, and I didn't want the spotlight to be on me. I wanted to take a step back, which, I mean, that the whole idea there is just very rich. But this is where we are now. The Rock is not involved. The Rock was never supposed to be involved, and it makes what they did that much worse. And you can look back on it and go, boy, you know, this would have worked out so much better if they would have saved that John Cena heel turn, very, very much like what they did with Austin in 2001, which ended up being a terrible idea, you know, for business. This is a little bit different. Cena's on his way out. You know, he's not the top guy anymore like Austin was at the time. It's not an apples and apples thing. But working it that way would have been so much better. Like, forget Travis Scott. Forget The Rock. If The Rock wasn't going to be a part of this thing, he never should have been involved in the first place. The soul stuff never should have happened. This should never have been about The Rock, which is all it turned into after that. It should have been John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber because he didn't win the Royal Rumble. And the chamber may have been his last shot to go right into a championship match. It's his final WrestleMania. And if they really wanted him to win that title at WrestleMania and not push it off until SummerSlam or sometime later in the year, then you do the match. John Cena going for number 17, feeling the desperation to break the record. And during the match, he does the unthinkable. Him kicking Cody in the nuts at WrestleMania in the way he did, that would have been an amazing moment that then led into a finish that nobody would have expected. So you get the combination, the 1-2 punch here of Cena goes heel and he wins number 17, but this is not the way we thought it was going to happen. And then he goes on from there to have this heel run where he's counting down the number of dates he's got left and he's very stoic and I'm here to ruin wrestling and this is why I did what I did. Like, there were so many other ways, better ways to tell this story, but they just seemingly didn't give it enough foresight. And they just came up with this. It was almost very haphazard, just if you believe what The Rock says. And that to me is the most stunning part of this entire thing. What little forethought they put into what they ended up doing and the way that they did it If you made a list of the five ways they could have gotten from point A to point B, they went with the absolute worst possible plan. And that's how they closed out WrestleMania this year. And it sucks. And it'll go down. I don't want to say it was the worst. It will go down as one of the worst finishes to a WrestleMania that they've ever done in terms of how they got there. And it didn't have to be that way. Rock never should have been involved in this in the first place. It was one big tease for something they never intended on delivering on. They had an obligation, I think, to the fans to really give them a heads up and let them know that Rock wouldn't be there. And it would have been very simple. It would have been very, very simple. Instead of ignoring The Rock and pretending like he didn't exist in those initial weeks coming out of Elimination Chamber, it could have been a very simple statement from The Rock, or even Cena on behalf of The Rock, mentioning that The Rock basically said, okay, you know, my job here is done. The rest is up to you. But let's be honest here. They wanted people to think that Rock was going to be there because that just added to the interest in the show. They probably didn't want to come out and say Rock wasn't going to be there. I think they were very duplicitous about the entire thing. They knew exactly what they were doing. You know, even those Rock t-shirts everybody was showing pictures of, even though those Rock has finally come back to Las Vegas shirts were made last year. They were made over a year ago for the WrestleMania kickoff to 40. I think people think they were made brand new for this year. They weren't. But evidently they were spotted in Vegas. If they were on sale, that's even worse. I mean, if they took those old shirts and had them on sale in their shop in Vegas, I wasn't there, so I can't confirm that they were on sale in Vegas. But if they were, that makes it even worse. But maybe that's why. Maybe they were like, oh, okay, let's keep people thinking The Rock will be there. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he will show up. Rock never should have been involved in this, though, in the first place. And the fact that Travis Scott and The Rock not being there is what a lot of people will now forever associate with John Cena breaking the record of winning number 17 in his final WrestleMania match is an embarrassment. And had they worked things just a little bit differently, this could have been an all-timer as far as like finishes to a WrestleMania. And the way it worked, it was an all-timer, but for all the wrong reasons. And there's no amount of spin or damage control that The Rock can do that is going to fix that.